When we are teaching children in our religious education program and in our school in the ways of the Catholic faith, one of the things that our children learn are two sets of works of mercy. One set of works of mercy are called corporal works of mercy, from the Latin corpus, which has to do with the body. So these would be very familiar to you. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give shelter to the homeless, etc. Things related to basic human needs on a physical level. There's a whole other set of works of mercy called spiritual works of mercy. And there are seven of those as well. And two of them are really among the most difficult to show or to manifest in our world today. The first is instructing the ignorant, and the second is to admonish the sinner. Those are two of the seven spiritual works of mercy. And perhaps precisely because they are so difficult to achieve, our Lord spends some verses here in Matthew chapter 18 speaking to us about this spiritual work of mercy, or these two spiritual works of mercy, instructing the ignorant and admonishing the sinner. They fall under this category of a discipline in the church called fraternal correction. Fraternal correction. Now, if you asked 1,000 Catholics, what would you rather do? Feed the hungry and clothe the naked, or instruct the ignorant and admonish the sinner? Almost everyone would choose the former, no doubt. Right? Because who wants to get into a confrontation with someone else? There's this hesitation that all of us feel. We can make excuses. We could say, who am I to say anything to anyone? After all, I'm a sinner too. Or, I don't want to judge. It's not for me to say. Interestingly, the practice of fraternal correction assumes that you do make a moral judgment about someone else's behavior. You can't correct something unless you have found something to be wrong in the first place. Making a determination of right and wrong assumes a judgment of some sort. So clearly even there, this 11th commandment, thou shalt not judge, which is so conveniently inserted into the moral fabric of so many people's moral calculus, is clearly off. There is no commandment that says, thou shalt not judge. The word in Greek for judge in the Bible speaks about something very specific. Judging another person's soul, whether or not they're in mortal or venial sin, or judging whether or not they're going to heaven, hell, or purgatory. None of those things are in our purview to judge. We can't know someone's state of soul, and we can't really know whether or not they're going to heaven, hell, or purgatory. That's for God to decide. But just take for an example how broadly thou shalt not judge is interpreted today. By the current standards, you could not be held accountable for speeding. The officer would pull you over, as one did to me this week, in Aquia Harbor, no less. Now, I could have said, you know, thou shalt not judge, officer. Who are you to make a judgment on me? Haven't you sped before? In fact, I know you sped to catch me. See, so there's this pass we all give each other, thou shalt not judge, and we interpret it far more broadly than it's ever interpreted, and ever meant to be interpreted. So, again, performing a fraternal correction according to the gospel assumes that you make a moral judgment. And in fact, this is not just a New Testament idea. If you were listening to the first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, listen to what God says through the prophet Ezekiel. If I tell the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. So you see, in this hesitation we have of not wanting to confront someone, not wanting to admonish the sinner, instruct the ignorant, we just basically assume, well, you know, I don't want to judge, confrontation's uncomfortable, I just want to mind my own business, look away. According to the book of the prophet Ezekiel, unacceptable. Unacceptable. And people say, well, shouldn't I just mind my own business? Apparently not. Apparently not. Fraternal correction assumes that out of love, out of mercy, we confront those who have committed sins or are committing sins. Now, there are several conditions that need to be fulfilled in order for this to occur successfully. And I'll speak from the perspective of fraternal corrections that occur among priests. Now, this is usually fairly easily done because ostensibly we're all trying to live according to the spirit of the gospel. But one of the first things I will always ask a brother priest before I offer a fraternal correction is simply this. My brother priest, I have something to say to you in the area of fraternal correction. Are you willing to listen? And if he says no, then it's not the right time, or I'm not the right person. In which case, it's incumbent upon me to find a couple of other priests or his superior who can do the job with and for me. Same with my own sister. I am the absolutely worst person on earth to offer my sister fraternal correction. Do you know how this works? I say something and she goes, no. And then my priest friend next to me says the exact same thing. She goes, oh yeah. I said, I just said that. And she says, no, but you're you. And I like him. See, there's things that are received according to the mode of the receiver. We've got to be sensitive about that. So you have to evaluate whether or not you have a reasonable opportunity for success. You might not be the right person to make the fraternal correction, even though it needs to be made. And that's why our Lord places his inclusion in his analysis that you also have to bring on perhaps two or three other witnesses so that the power and testimony of two or three other witnesses cannot be refuted. That's actually a Jewish prescript from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the other condition that needs to be met is that your intent has to be the conversion of this person. That has to be the intent of this in the first place. If you're just interested in winning an argument or proving you're right or having the last word or being able to say, see, I told you, then you're not really doing the business of authentic fraternal correction. It has to be done with an eye towards mercy and of love and of justice for your brother or your sister. And remember that fraternal correction is not from superior to underling. Fraternal correction is an activity between peers. It's an activity amongst people of equitable status. There's another area of correction that occurs, for example, in our own house. Father Belli can give me fraternal correction. But Father DiMartino's correction of me is a little bit different because that's more paternal correction because he's my boss. Father Belli is not my boss, nor am I. But I do have a responsibility to speak to him as he does to me about things that we might see in each other which are impeding our work or are not leading either of us or one of us to salvation. But you see, no one likes to do this because we have become soft. We have become unwilling to offend. We are so hesitant to do the right thing rather to do the expedient, rather than do the right thing, we want to do the expedient thing. What's easiest to do? What will get me out of the most amount of confrontation and the most amount of pain? How can I get out of this situation? How can I take a pass? Someone else will do it, I'm sure. I'll leave it up to them. If you're reading Ezekiel, qua Ezekiel, as I said earlier, unacceptable. Ezekiel is speaking on God's behalf. You cannot not warn the sinner. So what this all really takes in the end is a deep spirit of prayer and a love for your brother. So much so that you would be willing to risk a friendship or a relationship for their conversion. Now, hopefully the two don't have to be mutually exclusive. Hopefully you can win them over, and because of this love you've shown them, you've grown even deeper in friendship, deeper in your relationship. That's the ideal. But sometimes it doesn't happen. But the person perhaps changes, even though in their pride, they are unwilling to either A, thank you, or B, acknowledge that you were right. And that's why I say your intent here just can't be to be right, to win. You can win lots of arguments. It's harder to make converts. So we pray today for courage, for fortitude, in an age which is increasingly softened by political correctness and an unwillingness to, quote, offend others out of fear. Perfect love casts out fear, says St. Paul. Let us pray for a greater love for one another, and in doing so, loving God, the source and fount of all love, all mercy, and of all justice. O Mary, conceived without sin,